Blog Talk Radio.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it.
Sing out.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open up the gates of heaven. Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Let it rain. Open up the gates of heaven.
Come on.
Rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all people will see his glory. Oh, we want to see your glory, God. Oh, God, we want to see your glory. You want to see his glory? Lift your voices. Lift your hands. We want to see your glory, God. Oh, send down your power. Oh, God, send your glory. We want to see you move in our generations, oh, God.
Hallelujah, and we are live. This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour, broadcasting out of Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. In this evening's segment, the message of the Lord as delivered by the Malachi 4:5 servant of the Lord, the mighty prophet, Dr. David Awar, is very, very good news for the church of the Lord, for the children of the Lord, all throughout the land of the United States and the global church as well. This is the message of overcoming adversity. These are the my people of the Lord that we see prophesied throughout the scripture, specifically, and we'll cover in this evening's segment, in Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. That's Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. And that the precious listeners have been following along in earlier segments and messages. We've heard the oil and wine church, the powerful prophecy, the glorious gift that the Lord has bestowed upon the church, where the abundance of heaven is open. And the Lord says in Revelation chapter 6, verse 6, hurt not the oil and the wine. That is the provision of the Lord, the spiritual provision, for man does not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeds from the mouth of our living God. The Lord has promised a church in abundance, the oil and wine church, that would not be injured during the great famine that the world is currently experiencing. The Revelation 6, chapter 6, verse 6, horse, the black horse of the apocalypse, which has brought not just economic famine, and we've seen the joblessness is pandemic throughout the globe, whether it's Europe and austerity, the United States and zero interest rate policy, otherwise known as ZIRP, that has been going on for over 6 years and still no economic recovery, but also the Amos 8:11 famine, the famine of the word of the Lord, the famine in the land, where we have not heard the word of the Lord, and people have gone to and fro, they've staggered about in search of the word of the Lord, and what do they get instead in the United States? They get the prosperity gospel. They get the psychology and wisdom of men. There is a famine of the word of the Lord in the house of the Lord and all throughout this nation, and the children have been languishing, the children of the Lord. But the promise, the Lord has explicitly promised in Revelation 6, chapter 6, verse 6, as we'll see more in detail in this evening's segment, Zechariah, chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, that there would be a church that now is receiving from the abundance of heaven, and the windows of heaven are open. Now is the day of salvation, where the children of the Lord are feasting in this glorious global end-time revival, a revival of the nations that we've shared repeatedly on several segments here on the prophecy at the midnight hour. And there are revivals going on in Congo Brazzaville right now as we speak, in French Guyana and Suriname, in Angola, in the nation of Chile, and of course Kenya, the undisputed leader of the global revival of the Lord. HIV/AIDS is being healed. Cripples are walking. Tumors are dissolving. The deaf are hearing, the blind are seeing, and don't we know the good news of the kingdom is being preached to the poor, and the nations are repenting, turning away from sin, returning to the Lord. What it's all about, entry into the kingdom of God. It's where the Lord sent the Messiah, and we would overcome sin. He blotted out our sin, enabled us to walk in right standing with the Lord, to live in righteousness and holiness, to enter into the kingdom of God. This is a very powerful, anointed message from the Lord, a life-changing message, of very good news. But we do understand that many will say, well, how can anybody do this, live this way? And we cannot, but it's by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit. And the Lord has promised, and we read in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, that the Lord would pour out his Spirit on the flesh of his children. And that is how we are able to overcome. And that is how, by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit, we participate in the abundance from heaven, the glorious latter rain revival that is being poured out upon planet Earth at this very moment. We welcome back all the precious listeners, and we thank the Lord for bringing you to hear the message of the Lord. I'm your co-host for this evening's segment, Pastor Louis Lupo of Maryland Altar, and online and in the studio by telephone is Pastor Jose Bobadilla from the California Altar. And Pastor Jose, we're very blessed to have you, and we thank the Lord for your generous investment of time. You're familiar with the message of the Lord. What has the Lord placed on your heart for this evening's segment, Pastor Jose?
Amen, Pastor Lou. Shalom. Amen. And shalom to all the precious listeners that are tuned in, all the precious saints from the United States of America and from any and all nations that are tuned in. What an awesome day to be born again in this time we are living in, to be able to have been given the ears to hear the message of the mighty Holy Spirit and the eyes to see what is happening throughout the globe. Revival has broken out, precious saints, from nation to nation to nation to nation. And we are witnesses, precious saints. As Pastor Lou had mentioned about HIV/AIDS being healed, cancer, cripples, the blind, the mute, the deaf being healed, precious saints, we are witnesses to testify of these events happening. We are witnesses. The Lord has allowed us to see millions upon millions of people, precious saints, gathering in one place, in one accord, receiving the Lord, receiving the message of the Lord at this hour. We have seen it with our very own eyes in the nation of Kenya. More than one time, precious saints, more than one time, the Lord has allowed us. And we heard a very, very powerful report today from the dear Archbishop over Jesus Lord Radio of French Guiana, the mighty, mighty works of the Lord that are going on in that nation, and the powerful report that has been shared with us and all those that were tuned in from all the nations across the earth, that the president of that nation received the mighty prophet of the Lord and received the Lord and received the message from the prophet and will receive the gifts of the prophet, precious saint. That nation is truly blessed. The president of that nation opened the doors of that nation to the message of the Lord and to his mighty, mighty servant sent by Jehovah himself, precious saint. And not only did they receive the message, but they received the rebuke that comes from this message. It comes from the Lord at this hour. The rebuke, precious saint. Because the church has taken a different road globally, and especially here in the United States of America, the church has taken a different route. The highway of holiness is going this way, and the United States of American church is going in the complete opposite direction. And this is the message, precious saints, that is coming directly from the Lord, so that we may repent and return to the highway of holiness, that we may humble ourselves, and the Lord himself will restore us, precious saints. He will refine us like gold, as we hear in the scriptures. This is the hour, precious saints. How humbling, and what a blessing, precious saints, that the Lord has given us another day to share this mighty message of the Lord, so that we may repent, precious saints. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us, so we must repent today and return to the righteousness of the Lord today, precious saints. I want to read from the word of the Lord. And this is from the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Daniel 12, verses 1 to 3. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Precious saints, this is the church, precious saints, the Lord's church, the Lord's people at this hour, the ones that are humbling and surrendering completely, precious saints, to the Lord, who are turning away completely to the ways of the world, the wickedness of the world. The my people, the Lord's people, that the Lord is protecting at this hour, that the Lord himself is ministering to, is feeding us directly from heaven, the fresh hot bread directly from heaven, precious saints. As Pastor Lou had mentioned earlier in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, do not harm the oil and the wine. The black horse, which brings famine to the earth, a physical famine and a spiritual famine, as many are lacking to hear from the Lord. But the oil and the wine are receiving plenty at this hour, precious saints. Please surrender your hearts to the Lord. It is now time to return to the righteousness, to the holiness of the Lord, precious saints. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. We heard a very powerful report, precious saints. Healing, powerful healing happening in the nation of French Guiana. The death are hearing. Those who are crippled are getting up and walking. It is now time, precious saints, to return our hearts completely, to love the Lord with all our hearts, with all our minds, and with all our souls, precious saints.
Amen.
It is now time, precious saints. Thank you, Pastor Lou.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor Jose. That's Pastor Jose Bobadilla of the California Altar, sharing the word of the Lord and the evidence. And the evidence is global. The healings in this revival have been certified by the CDC. That's the Centers for Disease Control, based out of Atlanta, for HIV/AIDS. Physicians, numerous medical doctors, have verified the vision restoration, restoring the blind and the deaf. This is real, and the evidence is indisputable. Whether one needs empirical evidence, it is there. If one needs a variable control group, it is there. No one has an excuse now, because it's on the internet too, but not just in one distribution channel, but in distribution channels throughout the entire globe and nations throughout the globe, whether Europe, Africa, Australia, Asia, the United States, verifying and confirming. Also, global media, as in television and KTN and KTV as well, as also global print. And so there is a cloud of witnesses for this powerful revival, and the Lord is glorious and wonderful in the way that he verifies and authenticates his word with the miracles of the Lord, and that he has indeed sent his messenger, the Elijah prophet, Malachi 4:5, to restore the church, to bring the church into that place where she's now prepared for the coming of the Messiah, not that church that's looking for a new house, or that church that's looking for a new car, or that church that's looking to build new buildings. That's not what Christ died for. He died that we would enter into the kingdom of God. He died so we would be in right standing with the Lord, to walk in righteousness and walk in holiness, as we saw with Enoch, who walked with the Lord and was no more, for the Lord took him. These are those days that the Lord long ago promised and prophesied through his servants, as we just heard in Daniel chapter 12. These are those days, and we are those witnesses to share the message, to share our own personal testimony, what we have seen with our own eyes, and travel thousands upon thousands of miles to verify for ourselves and to experience for ourselves. And we do thank the Lord for what an awesome privilege. And so now we get a chance to share with the United States, as well as the global church as well. For we know not that many, hundreds have been and have seen, that are distributed throughout the globe. But that's not that large of a number, considering that the earth is about 6 billion people. But the Lord is faithful and sent several hundred witnesses to see and testify of the works of the Lord, the message of the Lord, and what the Lord is doing and saying and calling at this moment in time. And the message is pretty simple. Prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. Now is the time to open your spiritual ears. We pray that the mighty Holy Spirit would open the listeners' spiritual eyes. They would understand with their hearts. Receive, repent, and return to the Lord. This is overcoming adversity. This is the My People of Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, Revelation chapter 6, verse 6. This is the mighty prophet teaching and encouraging the church. These are the days today to overcome adversity. We'll be back after. Thank you.
want to talk about a powerful message, a pivotal message, a turning point called My People.
Ninataka kunena kuhusu ujumbe wa nguvu kabisa, ujumbe mkuu ulio nyeti na wa muhimu zaidi unaoitwa watu wangu.
I found out
niligundua
that as the Lord led me to begin to talk about this powerful message called My People, I found out the following.
Ya kwamba Bwana aliponiongoza nikaanze kunena kuhusu ujumbe huu mkuu unaoitwa watu wangu, niligundua yafuatayo.
I found out that when Jehovah looks at humanity, he divides them into two.
Nilitambua ya kwamba wakati Jehovah anawatazama wanadamu, anawagawanya mara mbili.
That when Jehovah looks at the earth, looks at people, he sees two people.
Ya kwamba wakati Jehovah anaitazama dunia, anaona watu aina mbili.
He sees one group called my people and another group not his people.
Anaona kundi moja la watu wanaoitwa watu wangu na lile kundi lingine sio watu wake.
My people and the others.
Watu wangu na kisha wale wengine.
And I found out
na niligundua
that the manner in which Jehovah speaks about my people,
ya kwamba namna ile ambayo kwayo Jehovah anazungumza kuhusu watu wangu,
is in such a way that there is so much expression of love.
Ni katika namna fulani kiasi ya kwamba kuna wingi wa upendo unaodhihirishwa.
Again.
Na tena.
That from his throne.
Ya kwamba toka kwa kiti chake cha enzi.
When Jehovah looks at humanity, the earth.
Wakati Jehovah anawatazama wanadamu, anapoitazama dunia.
He sees two.
Anaona watu mara mbili.
Two groups of people. He sees my people and the others.
Anaona makundi mawili ya watu. Anaona watu wangu na kisha wale wengine.
And when you see the way he talks about my people.
Na unapoona jinsi anavyozungumza kuhusu watu wangu.
It's as if when something happens, he rises and says, but my people.
Ni kana kwamba wakati kitu kinatendeka, anainuka na kusema kwamba, lakini watu wangu.
Where? He's able to rise up.
Anaweza hata kuinuka.
The creator of the universe.
Muumbaji wa mbingu na inchi.
That when he looks at humanity,
ya kwamba anapowatazama wanadamu,
he sees two groups.
Anaona makundi mawili.
His own creation.
Uumbaji wake mwenyewe.
He sees my people and the others.
Anaona watu wangu na kisha wale wengine.
And when you follow very carefully,
na ukifuatilia kwa makini kabisa,
the way he looks at my people,
jinsi anavyowatazama watu wangu,
it's as though he has to rise up from a chair and say, but my people, anyone whose name is written in the book, I will deliver.
Nikana kwamba anainuka kutoka kwa kiti chake na kusema kwamba watu wangu, yeyote yule ambaye jina lake litakutwa limeandikwa katika kitabu, nitamkomboa.
For example.
Kwa mfano.
But my people, if they will repent and turn from evil, I will heal them and heal the land.
Ikiwa watu wangu watatubu na kugeuka kutoka kwa uovu, nitawasamehe na kuiponya inchi.
Precious people.
Watu wa dhamani.
He's very sensitive to them.
Ni makinifu kabisa kwao.
I found out he's very sensitive to them.
Niligundua ya kwamba ni makinifu kabisa kwao.
And that's why.
Na ndio maana.
Even when distress comes.
Hata wakati dhiki inapokuja.
He says, but my people.
Anasema lakini watu wangu.
But even in the greatest distress, even in the worst distress that has never happened, he rises and says, but my people I'll deliver.
Hata katika dhiki kali kabisa, dhiki ambayo haijawahi kuonekana kamwe, anasimama na kusema kwamba lakini watu wangu nitawakomboa.
That's why I say today.
Na ndio maana nilisema leo.
That as a church, as a congregation, as a sacred assembly.
Ya kwamba kama kanisa, kama washirika, kama kusanyiko takatifu.
I want us to find out today, when the Lord says my people, are we really my people?
Ninataka tukapate kutambua leo, wakati Bwana anasema kwamba watu wangu, je, kwa kweli sisi ni watu wangu?
Because my people we see love.
Manake watu wangu tuona kwamba nawapenda.
I want to find out today.
Ninataka nitambue leo.
What does it take for us to be my people?
Inatugharimu nini kwetu sisi kuwa watu wangu?
If we are not my people, then what ought we to do to become my people?
Ikiwa sisi sio watu wangu, basi je, na tufanye nini ili ya kwamba tuwe watu wangu?
And my assignment here is very simple today.
Jukumu langu leo hapa ni rahisi kabisa.
To interrogate us.
Ni tupate kujiuliza.
To investigate us.
Tupate kujichunguza.
And find out.
Na tutambue.
Who are we?
Je, sisi ni akina nani?
And also, to raise for you.
Na pia kupata kuwainulieni.
The features.
Tabia.
The character.
Mienendo.
The identity of the people Jehovah calls my people.
Kitambulisho cha watu wale ambao Jehovah anawaita watu wangu.
That we may measure and check. Are we really my people?
Ya kwamba tukapate kupima na kupata kuchunguza. Je, kwa kweli sisi ni watu wangu?
That's the reason I'm here.
Hiyo ndio sababu niko hapa.
That this church may also be called my people.
Ya kwamba hili kanisa nalo pia likapate kuitwa watu wangu.
And so precious people.
Na kwa hivyo watu wa dhamani.
Today.
Siku ya leo.
I want us to begin to examine.
Ninataka tukaanze kuchunguza.
The character.
Zile tabia.
Of the people that Jehovah calls my people.
Za watu wale ambao Jehovah anawaita watu wangu.
Who are these people?
Je, watu hawa ni akina nani?
What do they look like?
Wanakaa namna gani?
What do they do?
Wanafanya nini?
My people.
Watu wangu.
You find that in every situation, he always branches out and says, but my people, and they shall be my people.
Unapata ya kwamba katika kila hali huwa anajitokeza na kusema kwamba, lakini watu wangu, nao watakuwa watu wangu.
And he says,
na anasema,
that in every worst situation, but if my people,
ya kwamba katika kila hali mbaya yoyote ile, lakini watu wangu.
My people.
Watu wangu.
He says, my people.
Anasema kwamba, watu wangu.
He has called them out. He has brought them to himself. He owns them.
Amewatokeza inje. Amewaleta kwake mwenyewe. Anawamiliki.
He is accountable to them.
Anavutwa kwao.
He says, my people.
Anasema kwamba, watu wangu.
My people.
Watu wangu.
He says, my people.
Anasema kwamba, watu wangu.
Listen to somebody.
Nisikize mtu.
So today.
Leo.
I want to begin an adventure with you.
Ninataka kuanza uvumbuzi pamoja nanyi.
I want to begin a journey with you. I want us to walk. Do you know what an adventure is?
Ninataka kuanza safari pamoja nanyi. Ninataka tutembee pamoja. Je, mwajua uvumbuzi ni nini?
An adventure is like an excursion. It's like a journey to unknown to discover a treasure.
Uvumbuzi ni kama uchunguzi. Ni kama safari inayoenda kusikojulikana ili ya kwamba kwenda kutambua hazina.
So that's why I said, I want us to begin a journey.
Na ndio maana nilisema kwamba ninataka tuanze safari.
To begin to discover a treasure called my people.
Tuanze kutambua hazina hii inayoitwa watu wangu.
Who are these?
Je, ni akina nani hawa?
And what does it take for us also to be called my people.
Na je, inatugarimu nini kwetu sisi pia kufanyika watu wangu?
Such that at the end of this sermon,
kiasi ya kwamba mwishoni mwa mahubiri haya,
at the end of this sermon,
mwishoni mwa ujumbe huu,
I want all of you to have appreciated my people. What it means to be called my people.
Ninataka ninyi nyote muwe mumefahamu watu wangu. Yani inagharimu nini kuwa watu wangu.
That if there's anybody here.
Ya kwamba ikiwa kuna mtu yeyote mahali hapa.
That has not been my people.
Ambaye haja kuwa watu wangu.
That today you may change.
Ya kwamba leo na ukabadilike.
That today you may change.
Ya kwamba leo na ukabadilike.
Change and be called my people.
Ukabadilike na ukaitwe watu wangu.
That you may enter.
Ya kwamba na ukaingie.
So precious people, turn with me now.
Kwa hivyo watu wa dhamani, fungua pamoja nami sasa.
Turn with me to the book of Daniel.
Fungua pamoja nami kitabu cha Danieli.
The book of Daniel chapter 12.
Danieli mlango wa 12.
And I said, Daniel chapter 12.
Na nilisema ni Danieli mlango wa 12.
Verses 1 to verse 6.
Mstari wa kwanza hadi wa sita.
I'm reading from NIV.
Ninasoma kutoka kwa tafsiri ya NIV.
And it says.
Na anasema.
At that time.
Katika wakati huo.
Michael the great prince.
Mikaili jemedari mkuu.
Who protects your people. Did somebody hear me?
Ambaye huwalinda watu wako. Je, mtu amenisikia?
Did somebody hear me?
Je, mtu amenisikia?
As he begins, he says, at that time.
Anapoanza, anasema katika wakati huo.
Meaning, wakati huo ikifika.
Kumaanisha kwamba wakati huo ukifika.
When that time arrives, he says, at that time.
Wakati huo utakapofika. Anasema katika wakati huo.
Michael the great prince who protects your people, meaning my people.
Mikaili jemedari mkuu ambaye huwalinda watu wako, kumaanisha kwamba watu wangu.
Did somebody see that?
Je, mtu ameona hiyo?
Again. At that time.
Na tena, katika wakati huo.
Michael the great prince who protects your people will arise.
Mikaili jemedari mkuu ambaye huwalinda watu wako. Atainuka.
He says he will arise.
Anasema kwamba atainuka.
Meaning the protector of his people.
Kumaanisha kwamba mulinzi wa watu hawa.
Will arise.
Atainuka.
And he says there will be a time of distress.
Na anasema ya kwamba kutakuwako na wakati wa dhiki.
Such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then.
Ambao haujatokea tangu mwanzo wa mataifa hadi wakati huo.
Did you understand?
Je, mumeelewa?
That there will be a distress historic.
Ya kwamba kutakuwepo na dhiki ya kihistoria.
He says there will be a distress never happened before.
Anasema kwamba kutakuwepo na dhiki ambayo haijawahi kutendeka kamwe.
If you thought Haiti earthquake was something.
Kwa mfano, ikiwa ulidhania kwamba tetemeko la ardhi la Haiti lilikuwa kitu.
300,000 dead bodies rotting. He says, forget about that. That's a child play.
Zaidi ya mili 1,300 ikioza. Anasema kwamba sahau hiyo. Hiyo ni kitu kidogo.
Huh? If you thought the Japanese tsunami was something.
Ikiwa ulidhania kwamba ile tsunami ya Japani ilikuwa kitu.
He said, forget about that.
Anasema kwamba sahau hiyo.
He said, that there will be at that time a distress like never ever before.
Anasema kwamba kutakuwepo katika siku hiyo dhiki ambayo haijawahi kutokea.
But he says that when that distress will begin to raise its ugly head.
Lakini anasema kwamba wakati hiyo dhiki itaanza kuinua kichwa chake kiovu.
Then he says that Michael the great prince who protects his people will arise.
Basi anasema kwamba Mikaeli jemedari mkuu ambaye huwalinda watu wako atainuka.
As in, what's going on here?
Yani nini kinaendelea hapa?
And his job is what? Protect his people, my people.
Na kazi yake ni ipi? Ni kulinda watu wake, watu wangu.
Remember, he says my people, meaning his people, your people.
Kumbuka kwamba anasema watu wako, kumaanisha kwamba watu wangu.
What is the meaning of that? Before we continue reading, what is the meaning of that?
Maana ya hiyo ni nini? Kabla tuendelee kusoma, maana ya hiyo ni nini?
What is the meaning of that?
Maana ya hiyo ni nini?
Listen, somebody.
Sikiza mtu.
He's saying,
anasema,
that at that time,
ya kwamba katika wakati huo,
when distress begins,
wakati dhiki itakapoanza,
there will be divine protection.
Kutakuwepo na ulinzi wa kiungu.
He's saying,
anasema,
that for his people, my people,
ya kwamba kwa watu wake, watu wangu,
there will be, however, divine protection.
Kutakuwepo hata hivyo na ulinzi wa kiungu.
When the distress just begins,
wakati dhiki ndio inaanza tu,
right away he already carves out his people.
Moja kwa moja tayari anawatokeza watu wake.
Who are these people?
Je, watu hawa ni akina nani?
That's why I'm here today.
Ndio maana niko hapa leo.
And let me tell you people,
na wacha niwaambieni watu,
if this church,
ikiwa hili kanisa,
will not aspire to be my people, then I rather walk out.
Ikiwa halita tamani kuwa watu wangu, basi afadhali niende zangu.
My job is to make you his people.
Kazi yangu ni kuwafanyeni muwe watu wake.
Let us read on.
Wacha tuendelee kusoma.
He says, there will be a time of distress such as has never happened.
Anasema ya kwamba kutakuweko na wakati wa taabu ambao haujawahi kutokea.
From the beginning of nations until then, meaning until now.
Tangu mwanzo wa mataifa hadi wakati huo, kumaanisha kwamba hadi sasa.
We all know that the hour is now.
Sote tunajua kwamba saa ni sasa.
And he says,
na anasema,
that the distress then,
ya kwamba dhiki ya wakati huo,
then is now.
Na wakati huo inamaanisha ni sasa.
We all know that it is now.
Sote tunajua kwamba ni sasa.
But inside there, he has already carved up, but my people. Now listen to what he says.
Lakini mle ndani, tayari amekusha watokeza. Anasema, lakini watu wangu.
He says, but at that time,
lakini wakati huo,
your people, did somebody hear me?
Watu wako. Je, mtu amenisikia?
He says, but at that time,
anasema, lakini wakati huo.
He says, but, which means however.
Anasema lakini, kumaanisha hata hivyo.
In spite of that.
Kando na hayo.
Despite that.
Hata hayo yakitendeka.
Huh? He says regardless, nevertheless.
Anasema hata hivyo, hata iwe hivyo.
But.
Lakini.
At the time.
Wakati huo.
Your people.
Watu wako.
Everyone whose name is found written in the book.
Yani kila mtu ambaye jina lake litakutwa limeandikwa kwenye kitabu.
Will be delivered.
Atakombolewa.
Listen to me people, I have to say this.
Nisikizeni watu, lazima niseme hii.
There are few things I want to bring your attention to.
Kuna mambo machache ambayo ningependa kuwamakinisha kwayo.
I am beginning to open for you.
Sasa ninaanza kuwafunulieni.
The revelation.
Ufunuo.
The unfolding.
Kufunuliwa.
Of the identity of the people, Jehovah calls my people.
Kwa kitambulisho cha watu wale ambao Jehovah anawaita watu wangu.
He says this, but your people, which means my people, which means his people.
Lakini watu wako, kumaanisha kwamba watu wangu, watu wake.
Everyone whose name will be found written in the book.
Yani kila mtu ambaye jina lake litakutwa limeandikwa kwenye kitabu.
Will be delivered.
Ataokolewa.
Allah. I've just found out something.
Nimegundua tu kitu hapo.
I found out that one of the first identity. Identity, the future of my people is that the name must appear in the book.
Nimegundua ya kwamba moja wapo ya tabia, moja wapo ya vitambulisho vya watu wangu ni ya kwamba jina lao ni lazima lipatikane katika kitabu.
Hi. If you're making notes, that's number one.
Kama unaandika chini, hiyo ndio ya kwanza.
I found out that there is a book.
Niligundua ya kwamba kuna kitabu.
There is a book, somebody.
Kuna kitabu mtu.
There is a book in which your name must be found.
Kuna kitabu ambamo lazima jina lako lipatikane.
For you to be my people.
Kwako wewe kuwa watu wangu.
Listen to me, somebody.
Nisikize mtu.
I don't know whether you heard what I heard.
Sijui ikiwa ulisikia nilichokisikia.
I am told that there is a book, which means there is a list.
Ninaambiwa ya kwamba kuna kitabu, kumaanisha kwamba kuna orodha.
There is a list. They must go and check and check.
Kuna orodha. Lazima waende kuangalia na kuangalia.
I said, we got him.
Na kusema tumempata.
We got him.
Tumempata.
He's my people.
Yeye ni watu wangu.
Now I am told that kumbe there is a book.
Sasa ninaambiwa kwamba kumbe kuna kitabu.
And that's why I wondered. I said, but who are these people?
Na ndo maana nilijiuliza nikasema kwamba lakini watu hawa ni akina nani?
But now I'm told that there is a book.
Lakini sasa ninaambiwa kwamba kuna kitabu.
And in that book your name must be found written.
Na katika kitabu hicho lazima jina lako likutwe limeandikwa.
Church.
Kanisa.
Let me ask you.
Wacha niwaulize.
Allow me.
Niruhusu.
Allow me to ask this.
Niruhusuni niulize hii.
Dancing here every Sunday.
Kucheza hapa kila Jumapili.
Dancing here.
Kucheza hapa.
Worshipping here every Sunday.
Kuabudu hapa kila Jumapili.
Every Sunday worshiping, cleaning windows.
Kila Jumapili unaabudu, unasafisha madirisha.
Putting flowers here.
Unaweka maua hapa.
Praying quickly in the morning.
Unaomba kwa haraka haraka asubuhi.
Ah. The door is open. Coming in, coming in, coming in.
Mlango uko wazi. Munaingia, munaingia, munaingia.
And after finishing, going home, holding children, going.
Na baada ya kumaliza, munarudi nyumbani. Mumewashika watoto wenu mikono, munarudi nyumbani.
But allow me to ask one question.
Lakini niruhusuni niwaulize swali moja.
Precious people.
Watu wa dhamani.
In all your practice.
Katika matendo yenu yote.
In all you do. For the Lord.
Katika yote mnayomtendea Bwana.
Have you bothered to find out?
Je, umewahi kujisumbua kupata kujua?
Whether your name is in the book?
Ikiwa jina lako limo katika kitabu.
That in your worship?
Ya kwamba katika kuabudu kwako.
In your worship?
Katika kuabudu kwako.
He checks it. My people.
Akiangalia atasema watu wangu.
Have you ever bothered?
Je, umewahi kujisumbua?
Huh? The elders.
Wazee.
The men's fellowship.
Ushirika wa wanaume.
Widows meeting.
Mikutano za wajane.
We do so and we like it.
Tunaitenda na tunaipenda.
We like it here.
Tunaipenda hapa.
But precious people.
Lakini watu wa dhamani.
I found out that the Lord has raised a benchmark.
Niligundua kwamba Bwana ameinua viwango.
He has raised a standard.
Ameinua kiwango.
For measuring people.
Cha kuwapimia watu.
Look, he says, my people.
Tazama anasema hivi. Watu wangu.
My people.
Watu wangu.
He has a standard, somebody.
Ana kiwango mtu.
And I want to find out, in our practice of worship, do we measure to the standard of God?
Na ninataka nijue, katika matendo yetu ya kuabudu, je, tunavifikia viwango vya Mungu?
If we don't, today is today here.
Na kama sivyo, Leo ni leo hapa.
We must begin the journey.
Lazima tuanze safari.
We must be called these people. There is no way.
Lazima tuitwe watu wake. Hakuna njia nyingine yoyote.
I mean, no other way. Only one way. We must be called my people.
Namaanisha kwamba hakuna njia nyingine yoyote. Ni njia moja tu. Ni lazima tukaitwe watu wangu.
Now we found out.
Sasa tumegundua.
I found it.
Nimeipata.
I found out that actually there is a book.
Nimegundua kwamba kwa kweli kuna kitabu.
I want to begin with you another journey, inside the journey.
Ninataka kuanza pamoja nanyi safari nyingine ndani ya safari.
The question then becomes, which book is this?
Swali basi linafanyika hili. Hiki ni kitabu kipi?
And where is it?
Na kiko wapi?
And if we can find it, if we can lay our hands on that book, then we can search for our names.
Na ikiwa tumeweza kukipata, ikiwa tutakipata tu, basi tunaweza katafuta majina yetu.
I want us to find out.
Nataka tukapate kujua.
Which book is this he's talking about?
Ni kitabu kipi hiki anachozungumzia?
You know, if somebody tells you that watu, sahizi watu wanaangalia jina zao kwa kitabu.
Ikiwa mtu atakwambia kwamba sahizi watu wanatafuta majina zao kwa kitabu.
Lazima ujue ni kitabu gani na iko wapi.
Lazima ujue ni kitabu gani na kiko wapi.
Wapi ukimbile huku, uangalie kama jina lako liko hapo.
Na wapi ukimbia huko uangalie kama jina lako liko hapo.
Kama hakuna, ufanye juu chini kuhakikisha kwamba jina lako limechorwa ndani humo.
Na kama halimo, ufanye juu chini na kuhakikisha kwamba jina lako limechorwa mle ndani.
So let us begin the journey.
Basi wacha tuanze safari.
Let us find out which book is this.
Wacha tukapate kutambua hiki ni kitabu kipi.
And where is it?
Na hiki kitabu kiko wapi?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Precious people.
Watu wa dhamani.
We have a long journey. I have a long journey with you.
Tuna safari ndefu. Nina safari ndefu pamoja nanyi.
And in this journey I say.
Na katika safari hii nilisema.
We shall lay down.
Tutaweka wazi.
Spell out.
Tutaweka dhahiri.
Illustrate.
Tutadhihirisha.
Exposition.
Na kufunua.
Expose.
Na kuanika.
List down.
Na kuorodhesha.
The character.
Tabia.
The identity. The specific identity.
Kitambulisho, kile kitambulisho hasa.
Specific, something to lay your hand on, no, I got it.
Cha hasa ambacho unaweza kugusa na useme nimekipata.
Of my people.
Cha watu wangu.
And the first thing I found out is that there is a book.
Na kitu cha kwanza ambacho nimepata kutambua ni kwamba kuna kitabu.
And your name must be found written in that book.
Na jina lako ni lazima likutwe limeandikwa katika kitabu hicho.
Precious people.
Watu wa dhamani.
When he talks about my people.
Anaponena kuhusu watu wangu.
He's saying that there will be mayhem.
Anasema kwamba kutakuwepo na taabu.
Huh? There will be chaos.
Kutakuwepo na msukosuko.
There will be tempest.
Kutakuwepo na machafuko.
There will be confusion, destruction.
Kutakuwepo na kuchanganyikiwa, uharibifu.
But therein, you say, but my people.
Lakini mlendani, anasema lakini watu wangu.
I will save.
Nitawaokoa.
But for you to understand the advantage.
Lakini kwako wewe kupata kuelewa umuhimu.
The gravity.
Uzito.
The power.
Nguvu.
The authority.
Mamlaka.
The power of being my people.
Nguvu za kuwa watu wangu.
First of all, let's understand.
Kwanza kabisa wacha tuelewe hii.
What type of distress is the Lord talking about here?
Je, Bwana ananena kuhusu aina gani ya dhiki?
Because then if it is something not worth being delivered from, then again being my people is nothing.
Maana mara tena kama sio kitu ambacho kinastahili kukombolewa kutoka kwacho, basi hata watu wangu ni bure.
If it is something small,
ikiwa ni kitu kidogo,
that's not worth being delivered from,
ambacho hakistahili ukombolewa toka kwacho,
oh, then there's no greater advantage of being my people.
Basi hakuna haja kubwa ya kuwa watu wangu.
So let us see, What is the distress? What nature of distress? How does God define that distress?
Basi wacha tuangalie ni dhiki gani, asili gani ya dhiki, na Mungu anazungumza kwa namna gani juu ya hiyo dhiki.
Is it a death and life situation where we must now be subdued to be my people?
Je, ni hali ya kufa na kupona bako ni lazima sasa tutiishwe kuwa watu wangu?
What kind of distress?
Ni dhiki ya aina gani?
Before we get to the second character,
kabla tuingie katika tabia ya pili,
the book of Matthew,
kitabu cha Mathayo,
Matthew the 24th chapter,
Mathayo mlango wake wa 24,
Matthew 24,
Mathayo 24,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
beginning from verse 20,
kuanzia mstari wa 20,
and it says,
na anasema,
pray that your flight will not take place in winter.
Ombeni ili kukimbia kwenu kusiwe wakati wa baridi.
Oh, on Shabbat, on the Shabbat.
Au siku ya Sabato.
For then there will be great distress.
Kwa maana wakati huo kutakuwa na dhiki kuu.
Unequal.
Ambayo haijapata kuweko.
From the beginning of the world until now.
Tangu mwanzo wa dunia mpaka sasa.
Did you hear that?
Je, mmesikia hiyo?
He says this.
Anasema hivi.
That when God says something once.
Kwamba wakati Mungu anasema jambo mara moja.
Catch that thing.
Shika hicho kitu.
That thing is of gravity.
Hicho kitu ni cha uzito.
Once like this, catch that thing.
Mara moja hivi, shika hiyo.
But when the Lord.
Lakini wakati Bwana.
When the Lord says something twice.
Wakati Bwana anasema jambo mara mbili.
In the Bible.
Katika Biblia.
Please catch that thing, life and death.
Tafadhali shika hilo jambo, kufa kupona.
By the end of this sermon.
Kufikia mwisho wa ujumbe huu.
Each one of you.
Kila moja wenu.
Can do like this. Tell me, what are the qualities of my people? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Nikiuliza kwamba niambie, tabia za watu wangu ni zipi? Atorodesha 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
And use it to measure himself, say, I need to work on me.
Na kuitumia kujipima na kusema kwamba nahitaji kujifanyia kazi.
Oh, I am my people.
Ama mimi ni watu wangu.
That is my work.
Hiyo ndio kazi yangu.
Daniel says.
Danieli anasema.
Like has not happened from the beginning of time, the beginning of nations. Somebody didn't hear me.
Kiasi chake hakijawahi kutendeka tangu mwanzo wa wakati, tangu mwanzo wa mataifa mtu haukunisikia.
Which means take Haiti.
Kumaanisha kwamba chukua Haiti.
Take economic crisis.
Chukua dhiki za kiuchumi.
Take depression.
Chukua kugandamizwa.
Take tsunami Japan.
Chukua tsunami ya Japan.
Combine them together, has not yet happened.
Uziweke pamoja, haijawahi kutendeka bado.
What? Then that distress, I don't want.
Basi hiyo dhiki sitaki.
Then in that distress, I want to be my people.
Na basi katika dhiki hiyo nataka kuwa watu wangu.
And never to be equal again.
Wala haita kuwako tena.
Listen to me somebody.
Nisikize mtu.
I am heading somewhere with you.
Ninaelekea mahali pamoja nanyi.
I am heading somewhere, but this was just a by the way that we may understand the gravity of being counted among my people.
Ninaelekea mahali fulani pamoja nanyi, lakini hii ilikuwa tu ya kando kando ili ya kwamba mkapate kuelewa uzito wa kuhesabika miongoni mwa watu wangu.
From the ugliness of the distress you say I must be my people.
Kutoka kwa ule ukali wa dhiki utasema kwamba lazima niwe watu wangu.
If you understood well.
Kama umeelewa vizuri.
He said, don't do it in the winter.
Anasema ya kwamba usiifanye wakati wa baridi.
He said.
Anasema.
He said, don't do it in the winter.
Anasema kwamba usiitende wakati wa baridi.
Because it's too cold, you may not run too far.
Manake ni baridi zaidi ya wezekana hautakimbia mwendo mrefu.
Meaning that distress will require that you really go away if you can.
Kumaanisha kwamba hiyo dhiki kwa kweli itahitaji ya kwamba uondoke ikiwa unaweza.
Too cold.
itakuwa baridi sana.
You know the way it's cold in the winter? Some of you may not understand, but in the winter when you step out, it's minus 20.
Wajua vile kwa kawaida huwa baridi kabisa wakati wa majira ya baridi. Wengine wenu labda msielewe, lakini ukitoka nje ni negative 20.
And your bones feel the cold, it's eating the bones.
Na mifupa yako inahisi ile baridi na kula mifupa.
The nose is dead, the fingers are dead.
Mapua yamekufa, vidole vimekufa.
He said, don't do it.
Anasema usifanye.
He says, don't.
Anasema usifanye hivyo.
Don't try.
Usijaribu.
He says, neither should you try it on Shabbat.
Na anasema pia, usijaribu hata siku ya Sabato.
Because on Shabbat, you're only allowed to walk for 3/4 of a mile, not more.
Manake siku ya Sabato, unaruhusiwa tu kutembea 3/4 ya maili moja.
Not allowed.
Hairuhusiki.
He said, don't do it on those 2 occasions.
Anasema, usitende katika hizo siku mbili.
It rather be a sunny day that you may run very far.
Afadhali iwe siku ya jua ili ya kwamba ukimbie mbali kabisa.
But anyhow.
Lakini hata hivyo.
Now, he says, the book.
Sasa anasema kwamba kitabu.
There is a book.
Kuna kitabu.
That's number one.
Hilo ni la kwanza.
And your name must be found written in that book.
Na jina lako ni lazima likutwe limeandikwa katika kitabu hicho.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I took you a little bit aside here to explain to you the kind of distress that warrants salvation.
Na nikawapeleka kando kabisa kuweza kuelewa ile aina ya dhiki ambayo inakumbana na wokovu.
So we have found that there is a book.
Kwa hivyo tumegundua kwamba kuna kitabu.
And in that book your name must be found written.
Na katika kitabu hicho ni lazima jina lako lipatikane limeandikwa.
Which book is he talking about?
Ni kitabu kipi anachozungumzia?
For that matter.
Kwa sababu hiyo.
Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21.
Nenda pamoja nami katika Ufunuo mlango wa 21.
Revelation 21.
Ufunuo 21.
And in my title.
Na katika kichwa changu.
When he reaches chapter 21. Now he puts a title.
Katika Biblia yangu anapofikia mlango wa 21, sasa naweka kichwa.
And he says,
na anasema,
the new Jerusalem.
Yerusalemu mpya.
Did you hear what I heard?
Je, mlisikia nilichosikia?
As we are beginning to go find out which book are the names of my people written in.
Tunapoanza kuenda kupata kujua ni kitabu kipi ambacho majina ya watu wangu yameandikwa ndani.
Look, title.
Tazama, kichwa.
The New Jerusalem.
Yerusalemu mpya.
Something tells me.
Kitu cha nieleza.
That my people.
Ya kwamba watu wangu.
They will live in this city.
Wataishi katika mji huu.
And when I look at the New American Standard says, the new heaven and earth.
Na ninapoangalia tafsiri ya New American Standard inasema kwamba mbingu mpya na dunia mpya.
So when I look at that title.
Kwa hivyo napokitazama hicho kichwa.
And inside there I want to find out the book.
Na mle ndani ninataka kukipata kitabu.
Then I already understand 1 + 1 = 2.
Basi tayari ninaelewa kwamba 1 + 1 = 2.
Meaning if I add the dots of New Jerusalem title.
Kumaanisha kwamba nikiongeza zile alama za kichwa cha Yerusalemu mpya.
And the book inside that chapter.
Na kitabu kilichomo katika mlango huo.
Then these people will live there.
Basi watu hawa wataishi mle ndani.
They are inhabitants.
Ni wakazi.
They are the inhabitants of the New Jerusalem.
Wao ndio wakazi wa Yerusalemu mpya.
He says, the New Jerusalem.
Anasema Yerusalemu mpya.
So precious people.
Kwa hivyo watu wa dhamani.
Right now, let us begin a journey within a journey.
Sasa hivi wacha tukaanze safari ndani mwa safari.
The book.
Kitabu.
To find out which book is this one. Can we lay our hands on it?
Ili tupate kujua hiki ni kitabu kipi. Je, tunaweza kukifikia?
And as he begins to talk about the book and the things surrounding the book.
Na anapoanza kunena kuhusu kitabu na vitu vinavyozunguka kitabu.
Turn with me to verse 3.
Nenda pamoja nami kwa mstari wa tatu.
Revelation 21 verse 3.
Ufunuo 21 mstari wa tatu.
And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying,
nami nikasikia sauti kubwa kutoka katika kile kiti cha enzi ikisema,
thou the dwelling of God is with men,
makao ya Mungu ni pamoja na wanadamu,
and he will live with them,
na ataishi pamoja nao,
they will be his people,
watakuwa watu wake,
and God himself will be with them,
na Mungu mwenyewe atakuwa pamoja nao,
and be their God,
naye atakuwa Mungu wao.
On our way to find out which book,
tukiwa njiani ili kupata kujua ni kitabu kipi,
what book is he talking about,
ni kitabu kipi anachozungumzia.
He's already talking about my people,
tayari anazungumza kuhusu watu wangu.
You see how much he's fond of them.
Waona vile anavyowapenda.
How much he loves them.
Vile anavyowapenda.
And he says,
na anasema,
when it comes to my people, I find a second identity.
Inapofikia watu wangu, ninapata kitambulisho cha pili.
Second marker.
Alama ya pili.
I am talking about the second feature of these people.
Ninazungumza kuhusu tabia ya pili ya watu hawa.
He says that when it comes to my people, when he finds my people,
anasema kwamba inapofikia watu wangu, anapowapata watu wangu,
that when he has carved out my people, then he says, now the dwelling of God is with men.
Na wakati amewatokeza watu wake nje, anasema makao ya Mungu sasa ni wanadamu. Je, mtu ameelewa hiyo?
He says,
anasema,
that when he finds my people,
ya kwamba anapowapata watu wangu,
then he makes a declaration,
basi anatoa matangazo.
Now he says, now the dwelling of God is with man.
Sasa anasema kwamba sasa makao ya Mungu ni wanadamu.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he says, and he shall live among them, and they will live with him, and he'll be their God, and they will be his people.
Na anasema ya kwamba, nao watakaa pamoja naye, naye atakaa pamoja nao, na atakuwa Mungu wao, nao watakuwa watu wake.
What is he saying, somebody?
Je, anasema nini mtu?
Listen to me, somebody.
Nisikize mtu.
In other words, he's saying that the second identity,
kwa maneno mengine anasema kwamba kitambulisho cha pili,
is that my people,
ni ya kwamba watu wangu,
are the people among whom Jehovah the Lord he dwells.
Ni watu ambao miongoni mwao Jehovah anakaa.
Church.
Kanisa.
Allow me to ask you a question.
Niruhusuni niwaulize swali.
Church.
Kanisa.
I must ask you a question.
Lazima niwaulize swali.
Just one I must ask.
Swali moja lazima niulize.
I have no choice but to ask this.
Sina chaguo ila kuuliza hii.
In your worship.
Katika kuabudu kwenu.
Praising.
Kusifu.
Service.
Huduma.
Prayer.
Maombi.
Church.
Kanisa.
Does God dwell among you?
Je, Mungu anakaa na nyinyi?
Because he says, when he dwells among them, they shall be my people.
Manake anasema kwamba atakapokaa pamoja nao, watakuwa watu wangu.
Church.
Kanisa.
Does God dwell among you?
Je, Mungu anakaa na nyinyi?
Does God dwell among you?
Je, Mungu anakaa na nyinyi?
Thank you.
Hallelujah. We are back live. This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour. And you've been listening to the mighty prophet, Dr. David Awar, the Lord's end-time bondservant, sent to restore the church, to prepare the church for the wedding supper of the Lamb, to prepare the church for the coming of the Messiah. That was overcoming adversity, my people, with the reference scripture of Daniel chapter 12, Daniel chapter 12, starting at verse 1. And the question to the church, as we heard, is very clearly, who are the people of the Lord? Are we the people of the Lord? It's Sunday, August 17th, 2014, at 9:11 Eastern Time, 6:11 Pacific Time. I'm here with Pastor Lou of Maryland Altar, and also in the studio by phone, we have Pastor Jose Bobadilla from the California Altar. A very poignant message, no mincing of words. Our name must be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the question to the church, is our name in the book? There's much controversy, other voices in confusion, a doctrine of devils that has circulated the globe, and one that's been taught in the United States and exported as well, as we've seen it through the prosperity gospel, where they call upon the name of the Lord, give some money or invest some money, bribe the Lord, and then decide to live any way they want to live, and they just disregard the book, Lamb's Book of Life, and they disregard the ways of righteousness and holiness, the way of the Lord, and figure that with lip service, that should be sufficient. And we covered in some prior segments as well, really the foundation that when the Lord released the white horseman, and we have this revelation directly from heaven, directly from the kingdom of our Lord through his mighty prophet, that when the Lord released the white horse that goes about conquering and to conquer, that white horse is deception. And that first deception has been absolutely catastrophic from border to border and coast to coast, not only in the U.S., but throughout the globe, because the teachings have led the church down another path, down another road, taken her and detoured her off of the highway of holiness, and has instead led the church down to the highway of perdition, and we know where that ends up. And so many theologians that are misaligned and misinstructed in teaching from the wisdom of men have begun reasoning amongst the doctrines of men and said, it's okay, because after all, we gave a confession and the church is going to be all right. And that's not what the Lord says anywhere in the Word of God. And he's consistent from Genesis to Revelation. And in fact, we'll run through a couple of scriptures to help support, because this confusion of voices, this confusion of the Word of the Lord is absolutely rampant. We get emails, and I get them all the time, where quote-unquote biblical scholars will hold on to a doctrine that's not at all in the Bible, not at all supported by the Lord, and is in fact contradicting the word of the Lord. Because when it comes right down to it, they must be so. Otherwise, according to the standard of the Lord, and we know that holiness is not graded on a curve, and neither is righteousness of the Lord. And we know those two elements, amongst many, are the currency of heaven, it would only make sense that if the church is lacking, she would be busy about creating fig leaves and arguments and all sorts of mechanisms to live in that land of denial. Because if we look at ourselves in the mirror of the Bible, the standard of the Lord, not the mirror of men in the university or common prevailing theories or pet doctrines and all of these different words that we like to make up, we stand in front of the mirror of the Bible, we will see that the Lord is very consistent in what the Lord is teaching about the Lamb's Book of Life, about the people of the Lord, and about being in that book. And so the question from the mighty prophet, the Malachi 4:5 servant that the Lord sent, question is clear. Is our name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Question of, have you done any work of the Lord? Do you have good, upright, and standing citizenship? Are you profitable or growing your church? That's not the question from the Lord. The question is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? One scripture, there's many, 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 and we have a number of references also on the website as well. But one in Malachi, we'll read through, Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 and 18. This is Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. And I'm reading out of the English Standard Version for this evening's segment. It will read the same, whether NIV or New King James Version or King James Version. Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God, one who does not serve him. Verse 18, then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. And it's clear the Lord makes a distinction between the righteous and the wicked. The church has forgotten that. We think that, oh, we've called upon the name of the Lord and 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago, maybe 5 days ago, whatever the case may be, I bought an insurance policy and gave lip service to salvation. And yet the Lord is clear, but it's those that fear the Lord. It's those that esteem the name of the Lord, those that are obedient to the Lord, those are the people, the Lord. You can see the distinction that he makes between the righteous and the wicked. A distinction between the righteous and the wicked. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, we see this also from the mouth of our Lord and Savior, our boss, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. One more scripture, 1 John chapter 3, verses 6 through 11. This is 1 John chapter 3, verses 6 through 11. You'll find this thread that runs very consistently. You will see it also in Exodus chapter 12, where the blood of the lamb among the doorposts of the Israelites was the evidence, the action, the agreement that the Israelites took so that the angel of death would pass over, that they would be in the book of life of the Lord and exit the land of Egypt. Here we see in 1 John chapter 3, verses 6 through 11, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous. He is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, or the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Amen. That is 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 and 11. And again, the Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And again, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The Lord is consistent throughout all of the Bible. This has not changed. The righteousness and standards of the Lord, the holiness of the Lord hasn't changed. And yet the famine in the land, in the United States in particular here, well, we've thrown the word of the Lord out and the standards of the Lord out and instead replaced it with the wisdom of men, theology, with psychology, and with the ways of the world. And we had forgotten that the ways of the Lord change not, but his holiness and righteousness change not, and that the highway of holiness also has not changed. For our Lord tells us the way is narrow and straight. And then he uses a very powerful verb, and he says, strive, strive to enter. It is, that is a very powerful verb. He didn't say mosey on in. He didn't say wander in. We've seen the parable of the wedding supper guest that sort of wandered in. We find him in the Bible. He's not wearing the wedding garment. He sort of wandered in. No, the Lord is clear. It's a striving to enter. We strive by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit. And we see this as consistent throughout the Bible. Despite what the prevailing wisdom of the world is today, despite the fact that they say, you know, we can go ahead and practice homosexuality now because we're a modern culture. But that's a lie. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. And the Bible teaches clearly that it's unrighteous, unholy, those that do such things. Whether you look in Genesis or whether you go to Revelation, those that do such things will find another destination if they do not repent. Pastor Jose Bobadilla is with us in the studio online from the California altar. Pastor Jose, hallelujah. This is a teaching of the Lord. We have some time, whatever the Lord has placed on your heart. This is obviously, particularly in the United States, some pretty well-entrenched diabolical belief systems. We have so much that has been dedicated to it, and we've been praying that the Lord would open the spiritual eyes and the spiritual ears of the precious listeners and all those that the Lord is reaching out to at this point in time. What has the Lord placed on your heart for this evening segment?
Amen, Pastor Lou, and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, Pastor Lou, what a powerful message we heard today and have been allowed to hear and to receive, because this is the message that the Lord is sending to his people at this hour to prepare the garments, the wedding garments, as you had mentioned the parable in Matthew 22, when somebody creeped in that was obviously not prepared and not dressed for the occasion and was thrown out. And we see in those scriptures that they were thrown out pretty violently.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were weeping and gnashing their teeth. These scriptures, precious saints, are the word of the Lord to warn us that we must prepare. We must not take the word of the Lord lightly. Mm-hmm. And the word of the Lord says that only few will enter the gates. Only few are going to enter. As Pastor Lou mentioned, they're not going to be able to just mosey on in. We can't just cruise in as we are accustomed here in America to cruise, to kick back, to relax, to take it easy. That is how the Church of America has become. They kick back. They have concerts. They have become a modern church. Play rock and roll music. And they believe they're playing it unto the Lord. I'm sorry, but our Lord God is holy.
Amen.
And rock and roll music was not built on holiness.
Amen.
We have corrupted the altars of the Lord, precious saints. Each and every one of us will stand in front of the Lord to give account of what we have done on the earth. Not because our pastor taught us this or so-and-so said this, are we going to be able to stand behind his deceitfulness. We alone are accountable. And if we cry out to the Lord with all our hearts, precious saints, he will teach us. The mighty Holy Spirit will teach us the right way, will lead us to the highway of holiness. The church in America today, even those who know we are living in the last days, are following every dream and vision that everyone talks about, as if there are a million prophets. I tell you what, there is no prophet in the United States of America.
Amen.
There is no prophet. We need to surrender to the Lord, precious saints. We need to humble our hearts. We are a proud nation. We have a hardened heart. We do not receive rebuke. And the Lord rebukes those whom he loves, precious saints. That is key. We are to fear the Lord. And the church in America has turned away from fearing the Lord. They feel as they have grown to the heights of the Lord. It is time to humble our hearts, saints in America, precious saints here in the United States of America and in every nation of the earth. Because this is the nation that is going from nation to nation. And we are clearly seeing the fruits repentance from those nations that are repenting. From the top leadership down to the average person, fresh saints. This is happening in our lifetime. We are the generation that will see the return of our Messiah. This is the generation, precious saints. And the Elijah that was promised is here among us. We've heard and we are seeing clearly the release of the four apocalyptic horsemen. We are seeing the economic crisis that has occurred and that the bubble has only grown 10 times larger and can pop at any time and will as no repairs have been made at all. We are seeing the diseases, the plagues, the pestilences that are surfacing and traveling throughout the globe. We are seeing the wars and the rumors of wars and the movement in all the military tests that are going on from the nations and the seas and China building their military, Russia building their military, Japan, I believe, has now been allowed to build a defense system and to be able to build more military and to structure their military now. Precious saints, these are the days that the Lord is warning us. These are the days that we need to heed to the warning. This is the message of the Lord that is being shouted from the mightiest prophet of the Lord from nation to nation. Repent, repent, repent. And we are seeing the power of repentance.
Amen.
As complete nations are surrendering to the Lord. We are seeing, as Pastor Lou had mentioned, the cripples getting up and walking. The blind, those who are elderly, blind, that have been blind for most of their lives, seeing. Doctors are there to testify. Seeing your doctors. And are surrendering their hearts to the Lord. And are doing the work of the Lord now. Precious saints, we must surrender our hearts to the Lord. Especially us here in the United States of America. As we consider ourselves a Christian nation. and the majority of the population says they call on the name of the Lord. But yet, we can't even hear the voice of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
We can't even acknowledge a true prophet from those who are false. We have preachers filling stadiums begging for money, playing the name it and claim it game. Touch that car and claim it and it'll be yours. Precious saints, these are the days to rebuke the filthiness of this world, the things of this world, the ways of man, what man has built, not the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Liv.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Jose. There are many scriptures, precious listeners, throughout the Bible. But I think Pastor Jose summed it up pretty well, that if we're not hearing the voice of the mighty Holy Spirit, the Lord has sent his prophet, that really everything else fall on deaf ears here in the United States. But we do know that the word of the Lord is alive. And we do know that the word of the Lord goes out with power, does not return void, but accomplishes everything that the Lord has purposed for it. And so the message has indeed gone out globally and from nations to nations. And as a witness, we do remain mystified. But how can it be a nation that has so many, large percentage population that say they call upon the Lord and yet do not hear the voice of the Lord? And the truth of the matter is, that's because on Sunday morning, those that are going to the house of the Lord, they're actually worshiping another god. We're worshiping the god of the flesh, the god of this world, because the scriptures speak expressly that this time and this day would come, that the Lord would send his servant, the Lord would command all nations to repent, command all to return to the Lord, command all to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. There are no exceptions here. We see that the book of life has been taken as though it is the insurance policy, a almost passbook savings in my back pocket. I have it. And that's not what we see in the word of the Lord at all. We find in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, we see Paul reference this book of life. And I urge you also, true companions, women who labored with me in the gospel and with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And we see them in unity and we see them in righteousness doing the work of the Lord, a very humble ministry that Paul had as the mighty apostle, a very humble ministry, because remember, Paul didn't have a million constituents or a packed church on Sunday. In fact, he was oftentimes in lack and in want and in need, and he even made tents with his hands and would minister as the Lord would open the door. A very humble ministry. These are the ways of our Lord. And we see multitudes of churches that were planted and grown in such a very humble fashion. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. That's Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, the book of life. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Revelation chapter 17. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And to their works by the things which were written in the books. That's Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. As we heard in the message of the Lord, how important is this book of life? How important is this deliverance? Now we get a clear, this is not cloaked, this isn't veiled, this isn't a mystery. This is right in front of us. This is point blank range. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21, verse 27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. And finally, I bless the Lord because of the consistency. It doesn't make this difficult for us at all. And he opens our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes. You don't need to be a sophisticated physicist or engineer or physician to understand the word of the Lord. We humble our hearts, and the Lord, the mighty Holy Spirit, will open our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes and listen to Revelation chapter 22, verse 19, as the Lord wraps it up. This is Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. That's Revelation chapter 20. And we know, precious listeners, there are many, 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 an abundance in the United States that will preach and take away from the book of the Lord, from the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, will take away the very book of life that is central to our salvation as the people of the Lord. The very book of life that the Lord spoke through his mighty servant Daniel in chapter 12 that we heard in the message of the Lord. And again, and in Ezekiel, we see it again, chapter 9, verse 4, Psalm 56, verse 8, And again, in Exodus and in all of the scriptures, in Revelation, the word of the Lord, we have seen that taken out. And the warning is clear that if one is teaching and instructing this, the Lord says, God shall take away his part from the book of life. We found in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, that if you're not in the book of life, you are somewhere else, the lake of fire. Not a pleasant destination. The Lord did not make hell for man. It was for the angels. Why would anyone take away the book of life in Revelation, take away the book of the Lord and the glorious salvation that he has provided, things of the world that are temporary, the things of the flesh which can't deliver, that teach doctrines and theologies of men which are nonsensical and change like the weather, and throw out themselves as well, preaching that, oh, the book of life, no, that's not applicable for those of us that called upon the name of the Lord 10 years ago, and we have that in our back pocket, when it's clear that the Lord says, well, we do not have the option to say that, and we do not, and are we not permitted? We are not permitted to toss out the book of life and the teachings of the Lord that he expressly revealed in the revelation of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the Lord has sent his servant to put an end to the debate. He sent the Elijah prophet, Malachi 4:5, servant of the Lord, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, to put an end to the nonsensical debate, because we know there is a debate raging. There has been, and they use all sorts of language, you know, the one saved, blah, 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 saved, and it goes on and on. Oh, I am from this school of thought, and I am from that school of thought. And the Lord says, no more of that. Deuteronomy 18, chapter 18, I myself, I will speak through my servant, hear everything that he says. If you do not hear, the Lord himself will hold you to account. It is a fearful proposition, but the good news is, alas, that debate is over. Sure enough, there is a book of life. Sure enough, the Lord says, my people, that means we're to be the people of the Lord, the children of promise, the Revelation chapter 6, verse 6, oil and wine church, the one walking the highway of holiness in Isaiah 35, the ones that are walking in righteousness and holiness, the ones that are preparing for the coming of the Messiah, the one the Lord has tuned the spiritual ears to say, the prophecy has come to pass. The Lord has not left us alone. He has indeed sent his bondservant, just like he sent John the Baptist preaching, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Just as he sent John preaching, prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. And so the Lord has done so again. And he has sent his mighty bondservant. And here we have it, the Bible 100% supporting the message of the Lord. And of course it would. The message is from our Lord. And now the debate is over. One can't go about debating Book of Life, and they can't go about debating, my salvation, I can live like I want to live, and I don't need to worry about those old-fashioned things. I can go out, and this is a modern society and a modern culture. I can watch any movie I want to. I can practice any other activities that I want to. It doesn't matter anymore. Well, now we know that's a lie from the pit of hell. Now we know, we see it in the Bible, and the Lord has sent his servant to clarify it for us according to the word of the Lord Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. The Lord has always promised that he would do this and that we are accountable. The Lord himself will hold us to account if we disregard the message from the Lord, because it's great love that he would do this, great love to the church. And we're really grateful that in this time of confusion, where the whole world has gone confused, they've confused sexual orientation, north from south, east from west, you name it, the church in the United States of America is horribly confused. And as a result, we see the nations are horribly confused. But the good news is the Lord has sent his word, the mighty Holy Spirit, and his bondservant to straighten it out for the church to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. And now we can see, oh, indeed, the Lord meant exactly what he said in his word, exactly what he spoke when he spoke through his mighty prophet John in the revelation of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. And it's the love of the Lord to put down all of the disputes. We saw that work with Moses. We saw the Lord do likewise with Elijah. We saw him do again with Jeremiah, Ezekiel, John the Baptist, and it goes on and on. And that when a nation goes apostate and starts following other gods and confusion rules and reigns, the Lord steps in. He sends his servant, sets the record straight, speaks the word of the Lord directly to the church and the children of the Lord. So that the love, the rebuke, we were going one direction. Oh, that was the wrong way. Thank you, Lord. Now we can go in the right, wonderful news and a wonderful message that we thank the Lord for. Those were many scriptural references found in Revelation for the Book of Life. Precious listeners, don't let anyone deceive you. Indeed, the Book of Life does exist. Don't let anyone deceive you. Let no man deceive you, that we find in Revelation chapter 22, verse 19, that we're to take away nothing from the book of its prophecy. And that's a warning. That's a very stern warning. And even if the pastor has been teaching otherwise, we are still accountable for what we do. For we have the word, and we have the instructions from the Lord. And if you're a pastor who's been teaching and preaching this and tolerating sexual sin and tolerating homosexuality, tolerating the love of money, tolerating the things of the world, you should be made well aware of Revelation chapter 22, verse 19, and understand that the hundreds upon thousands of souls that one has led astray, knowing the word of the Lord, we will be held accountable for them. We see this consistently throughout the Bible, and specifically in Ezekiel, where the blood will be on your hands. The warning from the Lord in Revelation chapter 22, verse 19, but it's the love of the Lord to lead us, guide us, direct us, and rebuke us for being on the wrong direction. And who wouldn't yank their child out of the street? Cars are going 90 miles an hour to avoid them being run over. This is the prophecy at the midnight hour. We were listening to the message of the Lord by the mighty servant of overcoming adversity. And the promise is meant and made to the people of the Lord. And spent the segment defining who the my people are in the message of the Lord of overcoming adversity. Pastor Jose, we have a few minutes. If there's anything else that you would like to add until the next segment, otherwise we'll close. Pastor Jose.
Pastor Lou, I don't know how much time do we have.
We have about 30 minutes, Pastor Jose.
30 minutes. Okay, perfect. Yeah, the internet kind of freaked out on me, and I can't see the time. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Pastor Lou and precious saints, and I would like to read from the word of the Lord, and I would like to read about the parable of the wedding banquet. Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14, Matthew 22, precious saints, verses 1 to 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' Paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-threatened them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their cities. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few chosen.'" Precious saints, we are to heed to the warnings, to the word of the Lord. Precious saints, we need to prepare our garments. As we have heard by the mighty servant of the Lord, that we are the generation of the garment, the generation that prepares the garment of the Lord. Scriptures are clearly talking about the day of the rapture, the wedding banquet, the days before when the servants of the Lord are sent out to warn and to invite the people, saying that the wedding banquet, all the arrangements are done, they're complete, that the mightiest servant of the Lord has seen the wedding rings in the sky, and that are now ready. We are hearing these signs, precious saints. It is ready. All the arrangements, the wedding arrangements are ready. The last of the last are entering, are preparing, are surrendering to the Lord. These are those who are being refined in the fire of the Lord, the fire of the mighty Holy Spirit that is refining our hearts. Our ears. Blessed are those whose ears are circumcised and they are heeding to the warnings of the Lord. These are days, precious saints, where the fear of the Lord needs to be established, needs to return to the nation of the United States of America. We need to fear the Lord and seek His holiness and His righteousness. There are eternal consequences, precious saints, for those who fail to heed the warning, the very clear warnings from the Lord. Those who reject his servant. We hear in the scriptures, Book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 19 to 23, precious saints. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 23. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely their people. Precious saints, we hear very clearly here that the Lord will send a prophet, singular form, at this hour. Not 1,000 of them, but 1,000 different messages. One mighty prophet, anyone who does not listen to him, will be completely cut off from their people. There is the my people, the people of the Lord, the oil and the wine church that have been set apart at this hour, who even though the whole world, the whole earth is in famine, is lacking physically and spiritually, receiving a surplus directly from the Lord, is seeing the works of the Lord clearly. Precious saints, these are the warnings. These are the warnings. It is time to repent. Turn to the Lord. To repent from all sin. From all sexual sin. From the sin of lusting of the eyes. From the sin of homosexuality and lesbianism that is sweeping across the United States of America. We must repent as a nation and surrender our hearts to the Lord so that he may restore this nation. Thank you, Pastor Lou.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jose. It's worth repeating, precious listeners, the way the Lord works and has always worked, and you heard it clearly from Pastor Jose, it's not about 1,000 voices and 1,000 messages. Don't we know what our Lord has said? Not the God of confusion. He is not. And we see all of these voices that are out there with all of these different conflicting messages. This isn't the first time this has happened. No, it's not, unfortunately. This is not the first time. It's been something that has plagued the church for a long time, but specifically today, it's reached such a crescendo But many of the children of the Lord have just sort of curled up in a ball and can't even manage given all the conflicting voices. But one thing is clear. The Lord has always raised up a prophet, and the Lord will always be consistent with his word. It will always be consistent. And what you hear from the prophet will be found in the word of the Lord. And what is more is it will also be confirmed by the mighty Holy Spirit, who has not left us as an orphan. He is the wisdom of the Lord sent to the church. And so rather than curl up in a ball from all the noise and the confusion in the din, this is exactly what children do, especially babies when they're born into the world. They just fall asleep because of the noise and the confusion and the over-vast stimulation. We don't need to do that. We can actually see in the word of the Lord how he speaks, the promises that he has made. Call upon the mighty Holy Spirit. He will help us, and he will confirm everything the precious listener has just heard, because you will find it in the Bible, you will find it in the kingdom of God, and you will find that exact message spoken by the mighty prophet of the Lord, because he doesn't speak on his own behalf. He's speaking for the Lord. And that's always shocking, because we have no frame of reference for that in the United States of America, and really that's even true throughout the globe, because all the messengers that say they're from the Lord always have a handout to the left or to the right and build my ministry, or here's a donate button, or I need this and need that, and always eventually end up going and pointing back to the world. We don't ever find that in the Bible. We know that's true. We know Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Daniel didn't go around with, you know, either a PayPal button or a basket seeking alms, offerings, jet airplanes, cars, or whatever. No, they didn't do that. In fact, they were rejected and opposed. And opposed by the spiritual leaders of the day. That is essentially the acid test, if you will, of the prophet of the Lord, that the Pharisees and Sadducees, just as they opposed John the Baptist and they opposed our Lord and Savior, will oppose the message of the Lord. And so we see that, because it's the flesh opposing the spirit, and the spirit is hostile to the flesh, because the flesh cannot receive the things from heaven, cannot. It is hostile. But the Spirit of the Lord and the mighty Holy Spirit will enable us to receive from the kingdom of heaven. Let's look at a very good example. Nice foundation will be found in Exodus chapter 32. This is Exodus chapter 32, just two verses, 31 through 33. Exodus chapter 32, verses 31 to 33. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, this people has sinned a great sin. They have made for themselves gods of gold. But now, if you will forgive their sins, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written." But the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book." That's Exodus chapter 32, verses 31 through 33. This is where the children of the Lord went astray and made for themselves gods of gold. It's exactly what's happened today in the church. Children have gone astray and have created every idol under the sun, whether it's success, status, prestige, home, cars, jobs, careers. It matters not. Every idol imaginable, sex. Left and right, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You see it. Here they are, they've gone astray, and here the church has gone astray. And the Lord says, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book if they don't repent. That's exactly what the Lord is speaking again today, what the church has gone and made for herself idols and has gone astray. And we have the blood of the Lamb to overcome sin. The victory is already won. The Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ has won the victory at Calvary. He's overcome sin and overcome death. That's not a license for us to abuse the grace. Here we see in Exodus 32, 31 through 33, there's no abuse of grace allowed. There is zero tolerance to sin. It has always been that way. From the Garden of Eden and from that moment in time when pride was found in the heart of the devil and was cast from heaven, when man was removed from the Garden of Eden, it has always been that way. It has never changed. The Lord has zero tolerance to sin. He is holy and he is righteous beyond our comprehension. But he gave us the ultimate sacrifice, the perfect blood of the Lamb without defect, the perfect sacrifice where Christ executed a job magnificently performed at Calvary that now we can offer the blood of the Lamb to atone for our sins. Such a great sacrifice. We have no license at all to abuse that grace. We have no license at all to abuse the blood, to crucify again. We don't have that. That's something that the fallen church has preached in the way that she's lived. And that's why there are so many addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, addicted to pornography, addicted to all sorts of vices. Because we've abused the grace, we've not walked in the power of the blood, which is the power of deliverance, resurrection power, and the power of life, the very good news. So we see in Exodus chapter 32, 31 through 33, the Lord's zero tolerance for sin. We read also very consistently in 1 John chapter 3, verses 6 through 11, that whoever keeps on sinning, that is, those that are abusing the grace, they're not known by the Lord. Let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. And whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. And this is the word of the Lord. It matters not if you're in the Old Testament or the New Testament. It matters not if you're reading Moses or John. For the holiness of the Lord changes not. His righteousness changes not. He doesn't grade holiness on a curve. You know, there's no, this is 2014. I think we can have immoral dressing. It's not 1880 anymore. No, you don't find that. You've been listening to a message of the Lord, overcoming adversity. It is Sunday, August 17th, 2014. This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour. I'm your co-host in this evening's segment, Pastor Louis Lupo of Maryland Altar. And with us in the studio by phone has been Pastor Jose Bobadilla of the California Altar. We thank the Lord so much Pastor Jose, for your generous time and investment.
Amen.
We want to let the listeners know some of the resources that are available if you don't have access to the webpage, or if you're not listening live, is repentandprepareTheWay.org. It's all free. There's no love offering, no spam, no fooling here, none of that. It's repentandprepareTheWay.org. MP3s and PDFs and teachings, videos, enormous amounts of material. I think the last I checked on the YouTube station, there were over 600 videos, and that's just one channel. There are more. You get a chance to see all the different nations where the Lord has sent his servant with the message of the Lord and the message to those nations. That's repentandprepareTheWay.org. And also, there's JesusIsLordRadio.info. That's JesusIsLordRadio.info. And want to remind the precious listeners that there is a global first ever interdenominational pastors conference that will be held in Nakuru, Kenya. That's the first ever global. It's the Interdenominational Pastors Conference held in Nakuru, Kenya. It'll be August 29th through the 31st, and everyone is welcomed and everyone is invited, and it's open. You'll find, there's almost every distribution channel that is out there. We posted it on the front page of highwayofholiness.us with email numbers if you're in the United States and you want more information or would like to have a place reserved. Pastor Jose's contact information is there on the contact page. My contact information is there as well. You can go to highwayofholiness.us, and there's even a link for U.S. pastors. And otherwise, you can reach out to the ministry directly. There's a direct call number to Kenya. I believe it's a Nairobi number to reserve. And that is, again, scheduled very soon. It's the August 29th through the 31st of 2014, the Interdenominational Pastors Conference, sure to be absolutely anointed, absolutely empowered by the mighty Holy Spirit. The Lord has called the gathering of the pastors to impart to them the mighty Holy Spirit and the wisdom of the Lord, and also to harvest the pastors as well. And we're expecting very, very great things to be done there. And the Lord never disappoints. We see each and every meeting and higher level is reached, and that we're reaching the end of time and the just amazing crescendo, if you will, the climax of the coming of the Messiah as we wait and anticipate for the return of our Lord and Savior. We see heaven is open all the more. We see the rain coming down, and it makes one speechless. I have a hard time even communicating it. But you're highly encouraged. And if you're hearing this, feel free to reach out. Those numbers and emails are not there for decoration, truly. Pastor Jose will speak with you. Pastor,
Amen.
I will speak with you. You know that. Those of you that have written in for DVDs, you know that's to have been the case. Feel free to share that with your other pastors and ministers and deacons. Or if the Lord has just placed it on your heart, you're free to reach out and call, and all the numbers are there to reach us or the Ministry of Repentance and Holiness directly. And that's it for this segment. I would like to take a minute to send this critical moment in time an invitation to repent, an invitation to return to the Lord, an invitation to accept Christ as Lord and Savior for that garment of the Lord that the church needs, that each and every one of us need for that day, a garment of righteousness, a garment of the Lord, the wedding garment that we just read. What happens if we are found without a chance to rededicate our lives unto the Lord and repent for all the myriad of sins that we've wallowed in, that we've tolerated, that we've even rationalized. Now we know the Lord has a zero tolerance to sin. Now we know that time really is over. This is no time to fool around. All of that money loving that we have done and how it has wrecked homes and lives and our own families and our own livelihoods and created such horrific bondage. This will be the time. We'll take a moment to repent before the Lord. Before I do, Pastor Jose, we just have a few minutes. Is there anything you'd like to add before we close? Okay, let's pray. Precious listeners, let's pray. Let's receive the Lord, and let's repent. Mighty Father, I repent. In Jesus' mighty name, I repent for sexual sin, Lord, for the love of money, and Lord, for all of those sins, or have been unholy and unrighteous, cannot even enumerate. Forgive me, mighty Father. Fill me, mighty Holy Spirit, that my spiritual eyes would be open, spiritual ears would be open. Wash me with your word, with the precious blood of the Lamb, that though my garment be scarlet and crimson, you make it white as snow, with the Lamb without defect. Lord Jesus, the work that you have done for me, forgive me, mighty Father, and restore me. Jesus' mighty name, I am born again. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. And until the next segment, this is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour. We'll return on Wednesday as the Lord leads. We thank the Lord for such a tremendous opportunity and for each and every precious end-time saint that he has brought forward. Brought forth to hear the message of the Lord and to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. We bless the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the precious listeners and all the mighty work that you are doing. Until the next segment, shalom, shalom.
Shalom.